Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hope you had an incredible, elongated, and continuing 4th of July holiday weekend. It was my birthday. I turned 54 years old yesterday. Man, I'm getting old, ladies and gentlemen. I've been at this broadcast for 25 years, the 25th year. Liberty Roundtable Live celebration happens all year long. Sam Bushman, Kirk Cosby, many, many, many other contributors, many people behind the scenes who deserve credit. We appreciate them and all that they do as well. I know sometimes, you know, it's like a football game. The people on the line never get near the credit. A lot of the people that do a lot of the work don't get the credit. But we're grateful for everyone who has been involved in this broadcast. And there have been many over the years who have really put their time, their talents, their money, and everything else where it counts. And we're so grateful indeed for that. By the way, the 4th of July reality extends for us as we fight for independence every single day on your radio. Our broadcasts are available, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, on the Loving Liberty website. By the way, I might add, there's live and on-demand radio via the web with hosts around the clock. In addition to that, they have a live, a download of their phone apps, iPhone, Android. Download the apps, live and on-demand radio free at your fingertips. You can also click and follow the Twitter feed and a whole lot more for lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, that's lovingliberty.net. All right, quick recap of, I guess it wasn't Saturday's show. I took a break on Saturday and Sunday to have a real weekend. I rarely get a whole weekend, right? But so this is Friday's broadcast, but it was very 4th of July-esque, if you will. We had our guest on, Chris Carlson, discussion of all things liberty. We talked about Happy Independence Day weekend. Let your 4th of July or your Independence Day, think of it as thanks to God, family, and country, would you please? We also talked about, in his book, Roles for Radicals, Saul Alinsky outlined a simple formula for overthrowing one's, quote, political opposition. Pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. We talked about that in detail, that that's unfolding today at an alarming rate. Beware. We also talked about gaslighting, how psychopaths demonize and demoralize their opposition. We talked about, do you recognize the degradation of conservative culture by promoting Trump as the standard bearer? Trump's done a lot of good, folks, but he's got some morality and stability, historical problems, right? But God can use who he will. Be clear about that, too. We talked about Ezra Taft Benson. He was the Secretary of Agriculture under the Eisenhower administration. We talked about his incredible book, This Nation Shall Endure. That's right, This Nation Shall Endure, and how it was an appropriate discussion to have on Independence Day weekend. Amen to that. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contests of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not for your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands that feed you. May your chains sit lightly on you and your posterity, and forget that ye are a countryman. Samuel Adams. Let's talk about the prospect of a modern-day George Washington. Folks, you can't have a single person that you believe is your hero that saves the day. You can have a good bunch of people that make a difference. But, ladies and gentlemen, you can help restore hope in our country by bearing the torch of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, future generations are counting on your response, ladies and gentlemen, for the sacred cause of liberty. That wrapped up hour one with Chris Carlson. Hour two, we had on Dr. Scott Bradley. to preserve the nation, his lifelong goal in collegiate series. Both available at freedomsrisingsun.com. Please contemplate the debt we owe America's founders. Amen to that. Please contemplate the debt we owe to America's founders. John Hargrove delivers an incredible sermon, on the second coming of Christ. The speech was called Unto Liberty. Just tremendous. John Hargrove pointing us to Christ as we ought to be doing ourselves. We talked about the future of America depends largely on the response of the church to the call of Christ. Will we be fishers of men? Will we pray for America? Will we be salt and light in our day and in our culture to those around us? Great questions by the American Family Association. That is the roundtable recap of Friday's broadcast. We played that same show back on Saturday, not because we couldn't be live Saturday. Once in a while, we want to spend time with loved ones and sleep in, get a little extra rest, make sure we have energy and strength and recovery. You know, we all need a little bit of downtime. You can work hard. We work hard on this broadcast 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. So we work plenty hard. But you know what? Sometimes you got to think about this. You cannot run faster than ye have strength. That's a biblical reality check for us all, I guess, right? So there you have that. That's the recap as well. We're going to get our guest on, Lowell Nelson, here in a second. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, always doing a phenomenal job on your radio. And he's also with RonPaulInstitute.org. He's the Utah State Director for Campaign for Liberty. And you know, Campaign for Liberty is huge. They've got chapters all over the country. Ron Paul, after he ran for president, unsuccessful in 08 and 12. Then he put together this Campaign for Liberty group, and they're incredible, man. They got campuses all across the country. They've got great, great people doing wonderful things, and that's why we want to add them to the roundtable as well. They got their leadership school, political leadership school, coming up in Utah on July 31st, 9 to 5, lunches included. You'll learn incredible techniques about how the political process works, not just for a candidate, but I'm talking about all the way through. From the time people start campaigning to the time you vet those candidates, all the way through with the details, how the delegates work, how the parties work, who's where, what you need to do to make a difference, how your influence can be felt, the right questions to ask. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. Campaign for Liberty doing a wonderful job in supporting you in those efforts. Campaignforliberty.org. So there's a leadership school, July 31st, the last Saturday in July. Available for you now. Sign up. It's 9 to 5. Lunch is included. It's all day Saturday. Incredible leadership training. Lowell, welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Appreciate being on with you.
All right. You want to add more on this leadership school?
No, you hit. You always hit it hard right out of the park, Sam. The only one thing I would add is normally this kind of training would cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars, but because I'm making it available basically at cost. It's only going to cost you $40 if you sign up right now. It'll cost you $50 later. But if you sign up right now, then it's only $40, and you can do that by going to facul-training.org/schools and find the one in Sandy. So that's where you sign up, folks. We really need to. I mean, look at all the freedom that we've lost this year. Look at all of the tyrannical lockdowns and so forth, the unconstitutional acts by our legislatures, by our governors, by our mayors, and we really need to take our freedom back. We need to reassert our sovereignty as people, and so it really is a sacred duty we have to keep the flame of liberty burning, right? That's our job. We keep that flame burning for the current generation and to preserve the freedoms of the next generation. So that's our job. That's our school's mission, Sam, is to equip and train today's leaders to truly understand what is at stake and to keep adding fuel to the fire of liberty. Thank you, Sam.
Amen to that. Speaking of the fire of liberty, ladies and gentlemen, the founding fathers lit brush fires of freedom everywhere. We intend to do the same. Independence Day celebration all weekend long. It continues into Monday. And the reason that it does, because a lot of groups When a holiday's on Saturday, they take it Friday. When a holiday's on Sunday, they take it Monday. So Independence Day really is celebrated today for the most part. 245th year anniversary of our liberty in the United States. Well, that's an incredible milestone, to say the least.
It is, because most cultures, most civilizations rarely last even a century. And here we, and freedom-oriented societies rarely last even a century. And here we are over almost two and a half centuries old, and in some ways we're really quite young, you know, compared to the Chinese dynasties, for example. We are very, very young, but compared to banana republics, we have great longevity. And the point I just wanted to make here, Sam, was that you know, next to life itself, I believe that our agency, our freedom, it really is the most precious gift from God. And it's this agency, this accountability of mankind that Lucifer attempted to thwart before mankind was planted on this earth. Well, and here it is, Independence Day. We celebrate this liberty that we have, this marvelous gift from God, the ability to make choices, to choose. And, you know, the adversary has been attempting to quash this liberty from the very beginning, even from 1776. And the fight goes on, and we'll be talking about some of the elements of those battles today, Sam. Truly.
The eternal war in heaven between Christ and Satan continues on earth. We're here to talk about it on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with me. We're talking about Independence Day celebration, 245 years, this elongated celebratory weekend. I hope instead of beer and, you know, that kind of stuff, it's all about God, family, and country. 245th year anniversary, incredible milestone for the young republics. Next to life itself, ladies and gentlemen, we believe that agency is the most precious gift from God. The agency and accountability of man was it was thwarted by Satan before mankind was planted on the earth. There was a big battle, a war in heaven. God, our Father in heaven, and his Son, Jesus Christ, versus Satan. Christ said, hey, give the glory to God. And you have your agency, your ability to choose. Satan said, nah, I don't believe in agency. I'll trash your agency and force you to be good. But hey, You know what? Everyone will make it back to live with our Father in heaven again. We'll be one big, and I jettison the word happy in this case, family, right? Okay, but you know what? We chose freedom. We chose agency. We chose liberty. And that is the core of the battle on the earth today, and it's what America was set up to protect. Lol.
Absolutely right, Sam. Satan would have forced us to do what was right, and thereby we wouldn't have been able to prove ourselves. You can't prove that you're valiant enough to do what's right if you don't have the choice to do what's wrong. So by allowing us choices, by choosing to live on an earth where we had choices, we could choose between good and evil, then we're able to prove ourselves, prove our valiance to our Heavenly Father. And so this battle today, I mean, one of the most important things that happened, of course, was the formation of this country, the writing of the Constitution, of course, the writing of the Declaration, which preceded that, and so forth, because this allows us now to have the freedom. We have the liberty. We can choose good or evil and thereby prove our valiance by choosing what is right. And yet this liberty is the very same liberty that the adversary wanted to quash in the very beginning. He tried tried hard to kill the spirit of liberty in the 1700s and then again in the 1800s. I mean, right from the very beginning of our fledgling country, he was actively trying to stop it and undermine it, erode our liberties and curtail our freedoms. And that battle goes on today. In fact, it reminds me, Sam, that maybe, I don't remember who said this, but, you know, there's nobody so hopelessly enslaved as he to whom thinks, or he who thinks he is free. And I believe that characterizes most Americans today. We believe we're free. We sing songs about our freedom. And I have no beef with that. I think that's important to sing songs and tell stories about freedom. But if we do so without understanding the chains of bondage in which we serve, in which we live, then we're deceiving ourselves. And so it becomes so important for us to understand what's going on around us. And you know, the things we talk about on this radio show week after week, day after day, that's done to help us understand these chains of bondage that are being forged for us, and to help us fight against them and to toss them on the trash bin of history and to never serve or be chained in to bondage ourselves. So kind of a long answer to a short question, Sam, but that's really what we're after here on Liberty Roundtable, right?
Amen to that, and I pray you celebrate by thinking of God, family, and country, and I pray that you celebrate by preserving liberty. A lot of people believe this is a political discussion, and see, I don't believe there is such thing as politics, lol. I think that's a word used to divide everyone. I believe that there are really only moral issues. And you always want to be on the right side of a moral issue. I don't care about Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, you know, left, right, white, black, whatever divide line, male, female, gay, straight, whatever divide line they want to throw into the mix. All that is a political effort to make things complicated, to make most people jump out of the fray they don't want to be involved. Really, there are political, there are moral issues and moral positions to take on those issues. And we ought to celebrate understanding the moral cause in which we're engaged here. And so, to me, life is vital. The pro-life celebration and the agency celebration are two of the keys for sure. And it's important that we understand the difference between politics and moral issues. If I say I'm pro-life, if I say I'm a male, God created male and female and gave us life. That is not a political statement, lol. If I say I believe in a man and a woman, a binary, and the two are ordained of God to marry, to have children, to create the fundamental unit of society, the family. They've turned these all into political issues, but they're not. They're moral statements that God has set forth. Now, you can choose to obey or believe in them or not obey and disbelieve them. That's our choice, but the consequences are not ours. The consequences come naturally as a result of the choices we make. So we own the choices. We have our agency. It's the only real gift we can give God is doing what he asks us and wants us to do. I digress, except to point out that these aren't political statements, ladies and gentlemen. I know our society makes them all political. But the truth is, that's the divide and conquer tactic of Satan. These are moral statements. All of them, lol.
Mm, Wow, yeah. Well said, Sam. I agree 100%. Having the courage to stand up for morality is absolutely key, and having the discernment to understand that these so-called political statements are really moral statements is spectacular. I think it's so astute an observation from you, and I think a lot of people have been hoodwinked, as you say, hoodwinked into believing that they are political statements, and because politics is dirty, I'm not going to get involved, I'm not going to stand up for these moral things, these moral issues, and you know that's you're exactly right. I think that's how we get divided and weakened. Well said.
And some people are more moral than others, and some people are moral but they're quiet about it. So some people are more vocal than others. I get all those things. I get that you have your personality and your nature and your comfort zones and everything else. But I would encourage everyone to understand when you can take any statement, any issue that we advocate for, and you can manipulate it into politics, or you can take a moral stance. I'll give you an example. Global warming or climate change. That's a great one. You know, do I believe in global warming, climate change? Well, let me answer it this way. God's in charge of the weather. And when we do what he asks, then the weather cooperates for the most part. When we don't do what God asks, he oftentimes uses the weather and eventually famine and other things, storms and calamities, to remind us, to help us remember our God and turn back to him. It's actually a loving God does this to prevent worse consequences from befalling us. Well, I bring that up to say, is there climate change? Well, absolutely. God changes the climate when he wants to bring us in remembrance to him. However, does climate change then, is that a moral question? Yes, God gave us the earth and we should take care of it. We should be good stewards of the earth. Care for it, take care of it, right? I believe in that. But now you say, okay, we're going to use climate change now to have government insert themselves and manipulate our lives to the point where government becomes a dictator, a tyrannical force over us, destroying our agency on the altar of global warming. And now I reject it and say that's bogus. You see the difference, ladies and gentlemen? One is a non-confrontational, non-political moral viewpoint based on God's law and God's love for his children. And the other one is government inserts itself above God and says, we'll mandate, as Satan would do, the agenda we have for controlling you purposes. I reject that notion. See how mixed up it gets when you turn moral issues into political issues? Wow. Just want to say, Lowell, what do you think of that?
I love it. I love it, Sam. I think we need to be asking ourselves more often the question. Well, you know, for every political question or issue that comes along, we have to ask ourselves, okay, what's the moral aspect of this? I mean, what's really being argued here? What are we losing in this fight? If I get on one side or I get on the other, am I really missing the point here? You know, so I love the fresh perspective you bring, to the table when it comes to these so-called political discussions, Sam. There really are moral questions, and I love how you bring these to the table and help us see them more clearly, Sam.
Well, thank you, sir. And Kit Knightley does the same with a very unique perspective that I think is brilliant. Lowell's got it for you, the teaser and then the breakdown after the pause, Lowell.
Well, that's right. You know, we talked last week about General Milley's basically, he's our Joint Chiefs of Staff right now. He basically was turning the guns on us, calling us domestic terrorists, marginalizing us with cancel culture and so forth, right? I mean, that's what we talked about. Well, this, it turns out that last month, the Biden regime, and I use that word on purpose, regime, because, you know, I used to be soft and say administration, but, you know, it really is a regime because they run around with an iron fist or a velvet glove, as you say. Anyway, the Biden regime released their so-called National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism document. This document is what we want to take a look inside and see what is a domestic terrorist, Sam. How do they define it in this document? The answer will surprise you, Sam.
Amen to that. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson on your radio. This is CampaignForLiberty.org and LibertyRoundtable.com. Teaming up with LovingLiberty.net to tell the tale of liberty as we extend our 4th of July Independence Day weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, hang tight.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Rescuers were given the go-ahead to resume the search for victims of the Surfside, Florida building collapse after the remaining portion of the building was pulled down in a controlled demolition Sunday night. Officials say the demolition went exactly as planned about 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Pope Francis went to a Rome hospital on Sunday for scheduled surgery of his large intestine. The news came a few hours after Francis greeted the public in St. Peter's Square and told them he would go to Hungary and Slovakia in September. Officials in Cuba evacuated 180,000 residents amid concerns about flooding from the deadly tropical storm Elsa as it rolls along the southern region on Monday. The National Hurricane Center said it would gain minimal strength after Elsa moves over the southeastern Gulf of Mexico. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Saturday declared a state of emergency in 15 counties. This is USA Radio News.
Energize Health. Awesome and amazing day. Men, John Jubilee with Energize Health. And I want to just talk to you man-to-man for a moment. One-third of men 50 and over suffer with high blood pressure. That high blood pressure medication has a horrible side effect. Worse than death. Erectile dysfunction. And it's brutal, but let's just talk about it medically. We have had thousands of people completely reverse diabetes, high blood pressure, irritable bowel syndrome, yes, and ED, raise their testosterone 500 points naturally through the breakthrough science of intercellular hydration. Men, if you're intelligent, you're skeptical. I want you to be skeptical. But go log on to our website, energizehealth.com. Click that red button, watch a masterclass, and then watch thousands of men just like you who reversed every single issue that I just mentioned. I don't make a claim. My clients make a claim. EnergizeHealth.com.
Tyson Foods has announced a recall of chicken. Jeremy Scott with the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau explains.
Tyson Foods is recalling nearly 8.5 million pounds of its frozen, fully cooked chicken over fears of possible listeria contamination. The products were made at a plant in Missouri between last December and April. The products are shipped nationwide to retailers and institutions, including hospitals, nursing facilities, restaurants, schools, and Department of Defense locations. The USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service said two people became ill with listeriosis. Tyson says in a statement, while there is no conclusive evidence that the products were contaminated at the time of shipment, the voluntary recall is being initiated out of an abundance of caution. To be safe, you should throw out the chicken or return it to the store.
Over the year of 2019, the company issued four separate recalls for its frozen chicken products. A massive explosion early Monday at a factory in Thailand's capital killed at least one person and wounded 29 others. The fire broke out at a foam and plastic pallet manufacturing factory just outside Bangkok. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio. Yeah, it's a holiday weekend, but we are live. Without a doubt, Independence Day celebration, 245th year. It's all about the principle of agency, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake, it is not political. Inside Biden's new domestic terrorism strategy, Kit Knightley with the details. And I'm telling you right now, this is really critical to understand. Who are the terrorists? Are you a terrorist? Wouldn't you like to be a terrorist too? Just kidding. That's the way they kind of make it seem, as they basically point the domestic threat as the highest threat they have. I say it's a farce. Lol, just like the climate change manipulation. Yeah, are there threats? But yes, there are. So God says if there are threats, he gives us ultimate authority as the sons and daughters of Almighty God with agency and freedom. To have the right of self-defense codified in the Second Amendment is your right to keep and bear arms. They want to take that away, but yet then they want to point at domestic terrorists. They claim the biggest threat. I say government's become the biggest threat in modern times. Well, I guess that's been the way it is forever, right? Lowell, let's start there.
Well, that's right, Sam. Governments have killed more men, women, and children than all the rest of the criminals put together. They definitely are the biggest threat, and the way they've defined domestic terrorists in this document is basically they don't define it. They leave it totally ambiguous, and they do so on purpose. Why? Because they want to make anyone into a domestic terrorist. They say the cause of domestic terrorism can be racism, religious intolerance, environmental protest, anti-government feeling, animal rights, anti-abortion campaigners, perceived government overreach, incel ideology. That word incel is interesting. I'd never seen before, but that's an ideology of entitlement or an internalization of society's shame. So that's on the list. Incel ideology, anti-corporate globalization feeling, or a mixture of any of the above. So domestic terrorists may espouse violence, or they may not espouse violence. They may work in groups, or they may be working alone, or in loose association with no organizational structure. Domestic terrorists can be left-wing, or they can be right-wing. They can be religious or secular. And the quote goes on, but notice, Sam, that a domestic terrorist can be anybody who thinks anything. The government is intentionally vague here. We're told that domestic terrorism threat is complex, multifaceted, and evolving. Well, they're keeping their options open, in other words, and so don't expect any specificity in the legislation that will be passed to counter domestic terrorism. Basically, we want to be able to nail anybody to the wall, and they do so using vague language. And so, for example, in the Washington Post, I mean, we can get some clues of what kind of a person might be the target of this domestic terrorism policy by just looking no further than the Washington Post, which in February of this year quoted a California state senator named Richard Pham as saying this, quote, anti-vaccine extremism is akin to domestic terrorism, end of quote. And on the other side of the pond, Sam, head of the Metro Police's counterterrorism unit, quote, called for action against coronavirus anti-vaxxers, end of quote. Well, so now the Biden regime believes that domestic terrorists all are on the internet. For example, quoting again from this document, this national strategy document, quote, recruiting and mobilizing individuals to domestic terrorism is increasingly happening on internet-based communication platforms, including social media, online gaming platforms, file upload sites, and end-to-end encrypted chat platforms, end of quote. So, because the deep state believes that all domestic terrorists live on the net, it also believes they can be tackled the very same way, which is to say, by three things, the big three, surveillance, censorship, and propaganda, right? So if you've got all the bad guys on the internet, then you can surveil them there, you can censor them there, and you can spread your own propaganda there. And of course, the National Strategy Document doesn't use those three words. What they say, they instead of surveillance, they call it information gathering. So whenever you hear that word, it's a code word. Information gathering is code for surveillance. Censorship is called countering propaganda, basically working with media partners to remove the incitement of violence. And then propaganda, they call that messaging or education. So these are code words, right? Messaging, education is a code word for propaganda. So, again, as an example, let me quote from the document, Sam, and give you the translation. Now, see if you can translate this before I give you the translation. Here's what you read. Quote, the Department of Homeland Security and others are either currently funding or implementing or planning evidence-based digital programming, including enhancing media literacy and critical thinking skills, as a mechanism for strengthening user resilience to disinformation and misinformation online for domestic audiences. The Department of State and United States Agency for International Development are doing similar work globally. End of quote. Okay, so here's the translation.
In my mind here, they're peddling propaganda, making you believe the government's got the only official acceptable narrative. You go with that and you're fine. You don't go with that and you're a terrorist, lol.
Perfect, Sam. The DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, they're funding massive propaganda campaigns designed to both brainwash the public and to discourage the public from reading any sources which disagree with the official line. You nailed it, Sam. Exactly spot on. And so the author concludes his article, this Kit Knightley concludes his article with this paragraph. Quote, the manipulation of the public has been governmental practice since the dawn of time. Let that sink in for a second. the contrived public reticence to act, concealing intrigues behind the scenes which create an apparent need for action. Eventually, the public will beg the state to do something, and the state will unveil the something they were planning the whole time. Tale as old as time, true as it can be, end of quote. So, folks, we are discussing this topic really so you can more easily recognize the propaganda that bombards you every day, and thus we hope you'll be better able to thwart these assaults on liberty and to help others around you do so as well. Sam?
Wow, it's a huge topic. It's almost hard to discuss because the stakes are so high. You know, I'm finding that I've been in this battle for a long time, Lowell, and I'm finding that they tried to destroy America just by quiet happenstance or, you know, setting the stage and letting kind of the work happen by the people. But people are realizing as they enjoy their independence this year, people are realizing that, you know what, that's not happening. We want to stand up. We want to protect our values, our rights, our morality. And Americans are starting to stand up, so now they're moving to the next level. All right, which means to literally destroy your independence, call you a terrorist, domestic terrorism strategy Kit Knightley, really highlighting that, look, we're going to have to force you now to destroy your country or shut up while we destroy it. They're moving to the next phase of force, if you will. Thus, the column by Paul Craig Roberts, enjoy Independence Day this year. It might be your last one, he says. Lol.
Yeah, sobering article posted at lourockwell.com. He starts out this way, Sam. He says, the 4th of July is no longer an event to be celebrated. It has become a day of shame and remorse. On that day, a systemic racist country was created that brought slavery and oppression to blacks. The founding fathers created the Constitution in order to legitimize slavery. Don't just take it from me. To confirm that July 4th is the day of infamy, just consult the New York Times' 1619 Project, CNN, NPR, the critical race theory taught in your local school system and in your son and daughter's university, or just ask Kamala or Biden, end of quote. Right? I mean, talk about, you know, you expect to sit down on Independence Day and read columns that celebrate independence, and yet here's Paul Craig Roberts writing just the opposite. Well, how come he's doing that? I mean, that really piqued my curiosity. And as I dug into this column, I began discovering, wow, you know, maybe he's right. Isn't this what our children are being taught in school nowadays? I mean, we're this critical race theory. We were told when I was a kid that we had to provide restitution to these people, to the blacks, or to the Indians, and so forth. Well, that's not even enough nowadays. That now the solution, Sam, is to eliminate whiteness. Can you believe that? Eliminate whiteness. All aspects of white, right? All monuments must be taken down. Not only Confederate heroes, but also George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abe Lincoln, even Christopher, especially Christopher Columbus. We got to eliminate white culture, Sam. That's what they're after.
And, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why is because white culture is what stood for and is the bastion for Christianity. All about God, family, and country. Don't let them divide us. Others are Christian as well. Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson continues in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? in churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, and Sam Bushman on your radio. Enjoy Independence this day, enjoy Independence Day this year. It might be the last one, writes Paul Craig Roberts. Very, very serious question. Now, I don't agree with him that it's the last one. I always hear that it's the last election as well and all this kind of stuff. But I get the point that we are moving into phase who knows what, where war is becoming commonplace. Violence in the streets becoming commonplace. Force is becoming the order of the day. We're changing for sure in America in a very negative, polarizing way. So I don't know that it's the last Independence Day per se. There's always, the economy is going to melt down. There's always the doomsday scenario. This is the last one. You know, you may not wake up tomorrow. You know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. I don't go for that. I do go for the reality, though, that we are incrementally losing our liberties, and we better wake up because, you know what? They're crossing lines faster than we expected and more rapidly than we thought possible. Lowell, that is the truth.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's using the headline just to capture your attention, and, you know, it worked. I read in the article, and so just this one paragraph from the article is essentially what he's saying. He says, first, white culture has to be eliminated. All achievements are dismissed as racist, including the U.S. Constitution. You know, that's part of the 1619 Project, Sam. That's part of critical race theory. And he continues. He says, with the elimination of the culture goes the past and thereby the present and the future. As more and more white persons are brainwashed into their guilt and they lose the ability to resist their own demonization, those who speak of white people in the same terms, those who speak of white people do so in the same terms that some Nazis spoke of Jews. They become more aggressive. They roll out the guillotine, end of quote. And so, you know, really, Sam, he's got a point here. It's how Lenin spoke of the bourgeoisie and how Stalin spoke of the kulaks there in, you know, the peasant property owners in the Ukraine. That they had to go. He demonized them and then he eliminated them. What's happening today? The demonization of the white people. And what's going to follow? Elimination. Killing the whites is one way to eliminate them, but there is another way, and that is to prohibit whites from marrying whites. White and black make chocolate. You put those two, it's neither white nor it's black. It's chocolate. And that is the goal of U.S. corporate advertising, Sam. And that brings us to the final article today, which is about the war against whites in advertisement. Boy, I never knew this existed. I guess I was blind to it, but reading this article helped to open my eyes, and so I thought it was worthy talking about, Sam.
There you have it. It's hard to even contemplate the divide, the wedge they're driving in the family. Okay, we bring this up, they're going to call us white supremacists. They're going to call us haters, but they dovetail well. The war against whites in advertising is how they're trying to make this divide happen. Richard Houck brings up this article. If you wanted to destroy a civilization, how would you go about it, huh? You would destroy, he calls it the nuclear family, but I would say the God-ordained traditional family, but you would strike at the heart of that family, and they're doing this every way possible. From turning men into gays, women into lesbians, The divorce rate through the roof. The self pursuits above family. It goes on and on and on. But he highlights this race wedge being driven amongst the people as well. Let's talk about it. Well, this is critical.
Yeah, it is. In terms of combined median incomes of interracial marriages, black husbands with white wives earned the lowest amount of any combination. The black husband and the white wife combination were also the least educated. Of the interracial combinations, marriages between whites and blacks were found to be the least stable and most likely to result in divorce. The divorce rate is higher in all interracial marriages for white women relative to a white marriage. A 2015 study examined the outcomes of women that have children with black men. Well, the results, Sam, are staggering. Currently, 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. However, when the mother is white and the father is black, the rate jumps to 97%. 98% of white mothers studied reported the father does not support their children financially. 97% report the father is not in the child's life. And 97% of the women have used welfare to help support themselves and their children. Only 10% of women that have children with black men out of wedlock end up marrying. The vast majority of white women that have children with black men live far below the poverty line. So let's review, Sam. Whites are the least likely to marry outside of their race. When white women marry outside of their race, they are more likely to be abused, to become single mothers, and to live in poverty. So why the blatant propaganda? That's the question. This U.S. advertising, corporate advertising, what they're doing, they're advertising a black man with a white woman. And it's all over the place. It's become ubiquitous, almost militant. So that almost everybody has been forced to notice this, even though I never noticed this, but I think it's true. I mean, I don't watch TV much anymore, so I don't see this kind of advertising going on, but apparently it's everywhere. This article was written 3 years ago. And so, you know, he answers this question as he says, well, advertising has the power to condition us to be more accepting and to usher in social change. I believe that's true. So despite the losses that businesses take with such advertising, I mean, think about that, Sam. You advertise to a black man with a white woman, and that doesn't fit society at large. I mean, if you look just the advertising, you would think that, well, most of the society is made up of black men and white women. That's not true. Most of society is white here in the United States. There's a portion of it that's black. And yet, why do these advertisers do this? Well, it's because they're pushing an agenda. They're pushing social change, right? They're trying to destroy our civilization, our culture. And so, as you mentioned earlier, Sam, it's the destruction of the nuclear family. And so they do that by encouraging white people, especially white women, to mate with foreign men that are unlikely to support them or to raise their children. So the media, the press, the advertisers, they all create this culture of anti-white hatred. These companies are not simply promoting diversity and trying to appeal to a wider range of consumers. They are promoting the increased abuse of white women. They are promoting heightened rates of communicable diseases among the people. They're promoting a generation of poor, fatherless children where our tax dollars will be funneled. They're not just trying to sell products. They're trying to recreate a nation, remake it without us. They're saying they do not want white children to be made, right? So what? And so then he asks, well, what can we do? Well, we need to expose them. We need to stand guard and shine a light on this constant barrage of attacks. And just one final observation that he makes, this Richard Houck, he makes, is that the same commercials are done with only white actors and actresses. Well, how's that? Well, when the press wants to tell us to stay single, to not have children, and to fight overpopulation, they direct the message solely to a white audience. Well, you look at the graph, the populations of the world, Sam, it doesn't make any sense. Even in this century alone, the white population will never even exceed 1 billion. But you look at the Asian and the African populations, they will exceed 8 to 10 billion by the end of this century. They're going to make up the bulk of the population. So why target the whites this way? Well, it doesn't make any sense at all unless your goal is to eliminate whites. And so,
yes, and let me tell you their real goal. Their real goal has to do with attacking Christianity in the end. And the way that they can attack Christianity, they can't attack Christianity blatantly or all the Christians will stand together in their sacred cause with Christ. What they want to do is chip away at Christianity one issue at a time. Divide males and females. Divide families. Have females live on their own. Have them reject men. Have them mixed race marriages. But the eventual real goal is Christianity. They just know that the white populations, especially in the United States, have been the bastion standing for Christian values and stability and moral issues. So if I bring this up, they're going to tell you we're racist for even bringing this up. That's what they want to do, to shut us down and not discuss this. They're intentionally using race as a wedge to eventually destroy the family, the fundamental unit of society, but their real goal is to get to destroying Christianity. That's their real goal, because if they can take down God, family, countries are nothing. That's their goal, Lowell.
You're exactly right, Sam. I truly believe that. And this Richard Hauck gives a couple of examples of another way that they're trying to destroy the family. A magazine article here dated April 17th of 2015, like that's 6 years ago, the title reads, Seven Reasons to Not Have Kids That Are Supported by Science, because you're never getting that sleep back. Here's another article title, Science Says You Don't Need to Be in a Relationship to Be Happy. Right? And so when a nice white couple is depicted in the media, they don't have any children. And so on one side of the coin, the enemies of our civilization, they promote constant dysgenics and social chaos through the mixing of the races. And then on the other hand, they encourage white Europeans to spend time alone, atomized, deracinated, and childless. This is propaganda with the sole intent of creating a world without us. And as Sam, you put, it's creating a world without Christ. Because if you know Christ, you know that he encourages families, he encourages a man and woman to marry and have children and to become like God. I mean, that's the reason you have families, to grow and to nurture love of Christ and love of your fellow man and love of one another. So we need you folks. They want to eliminate you. We need you to stay in the battle every single day. Strike a blow in the sacred cause of liberty, Sam. That's what we got to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, understand that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is the author of our liberty. Obedience to his commandments brings blessing, safety, and stability. God, family, and country. The opposite of that is Satan's plan for tyranny. It's manifest through communism, socialism, whatever ism you want to point to. Fascism, all roads lead to one agenda, which is a godless society. People are designed to mate, to bring children to the state, and government's in charge of all, rather than the family in charge of all, with the father at the head and the mother beside him, and God Almighty as their guide. The families are divided, and they all become workers of the state. Do you want liberty or tyranny, ladies and gentlemen? The choice is clear. The war started in heaven, continues on the earth today. Where do you stand? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lowell Nelson, thank you so much. Incredible hour as always, my friend. Godspeed.
You're welcome, my good man. Take care.
There you go. Celebrating the 4th of July extended weekend, Independence Weekend, is Lowell Nelson. God, family, and country. That's what I'm celebrating, contemplating, advocating for, and more on your radio every day, 6 days a week. Shout, we talk. The Sabbath will listen and rest. How's that? Thanks so much to all of you for all that you do for the sacred cause of liberty. For Sam and Lowell and everyone on our team, God save the Republic of the United States of America. We declare this nation shall endure.